Well, these past few days, and I don't think challenges ever stop coming, do they? But if we were not challenged, we're not growing. Because the steps get bigger. God wants us to take a step forward and come on. And these few thoughts are just born out of today, really. And I've just, I was getting tea ready, or getting Charlie's tea ready, and I thought, have you anything you want me to say tonight, God? And God brought a few scriptures to me, and I thought, I'll just follow this through. And so these were just a few thoughts that he gave me that I felt it would be good to share, because we can never be reminded enough of the Word of God and the promises of God and the way God works. We can so easily get sidetracked and pulled in the wrong direction. And I've been looking for certain things. I've been trying to get some insurance for our next trip to Burundi. And, oh dear me, yesterday I came to Bible school and I said, yes, yuppie, I've got some insurance. That's absolutely fantastic. When I got home, I opened my emails and I read the clauses and everything involved in it, and it said, if the government has recommended no travel or only essential travel, this policy is void. Oh! So they've led me astray. So she checked it out. I rang her and asked her to check it out again, and she said, well, we do cover Burundi, but only the green areas, and you're going to, it's a bit of it's green, but mainly it's yellow. So she said, no, we won't. So, and this little voice said to me, Grace, why do you need a plan B? I'm your insurance. I've told you to go. What did I say to you? Trust in the Lord, Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. And when you get a negative, I can't think that I'm the only person that does this, but immediately your mind starts going into overdrive, and it's like, okay, what can I do? What can I do? How can I work this out? How can I sort it out? And I read Word for Today, and that was talking about peace. And I thought, oh, okay, that's really timely, God. And every time the devil's got me agitated over this issue or anything to do with Burundi, whenever I've gone to the Word of God, or God has spoken to me from some particular instance specifically about peace, will you be at peace? So I thought, oh, okay. And then I remembered this used to say to me, peace is not the absence of trouble. And then another scripture came to me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. What does it say? I have overcome the world. And that's John 14. So true peace is having absolute confidence, not in circumstances, but in God. He's your source. He's your peace. He's with you, and that's sufficient. He's told you to go. He's gone ahead of you. So quit from there on. There's no more argument. And so I got to thinking a few things, and Romans 4 came to mind. I was chatting to my neighbour this morning, and I was sharing with her a bit about Romans 4. And I thought, oh God, it weren't just for her, was it? It was for me as well. And so I turned to it, and it was from Romans 4, verses 19 to 21. And it occurred to me that you don't need faith if you have a natural way of escape. And you don't, do you? If you can do it, that's not faith. If you can work it out, that's not faith. Faith is what this Romans 4 describes. And it says part of it says, being fully persuaded, Abraham being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. And I read another scripture came back to mind, and it was in Psalm 33, and it's verse 9, and in the Message it says, earth creatures, bow before God. World dwellers, down on your knees. Why? Because he spoke, and there it was, in place, the moment he said so. So the minute God gives you a promise, everything to do with that promise is in place. And I think that's lovely. He only has to speak the word, and the answer, and every part of that promise, from beginning to end, whatever is involved, he's got it all in place. And when you get there, it'll be ready. When you get there, he'll show it you. You'll see it. I don't need to know today. I'm not there. But when you get there, he'll show you. So it's a step by step with God. He doesn't always tell you a great deal in advance. And so just a few thoughts that came to me about the way through and the way to get into peace. Because peace is a tremendous, it's a fruit of the Spirit, but it's a tremendous weapon. It's a warfare weapon. If you're agitated, the devil's in control. He's ruling. If you're in peace, God's in control, and he can take full charge of what's involved. So, he said, and Abraham considered not. In fact, I really need to, my message doesn't do it there. I need me, King James. It's 19:21. And be not weak in faith. He considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded, verse 21, that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Abraham considered not that Sarah's womb was dead and that he was 100 years old. That's a big call. A big, big call. But Abraham refused. He didn't take into account natural circumstances that told him it was impossible for him and Sarah to have a child. Thinking about all the natural circumstances and what ifs will make you weak in faith. Don't go down that track. Don't look for natural alternatives. Don't look for a plan B. Resist the temptation to make a plan B. God doesn't need our help, does he? If you remember, Abraham tried to help God out, and we got an Ishmael. It's futile to try and help God out. He doesn't need our help. He just says, have faith. The minute I speak, it's done. So stand on that, believe that, look at that, focus on that, and stop letting your mind run rampant. Another thing that we were talking about this yesterday in Bible school, when God said it, he will do it, but sometimes we have to wait. And that is what got Abraham. Wait. 25 years. Abraham waited for this promise to be fulfilled. And in the meantime, he thought he would help God out. And now we have a mess that we're still dealing with has come down the ages. And so, just wait. However long it takes, wait. God doesn't need your help, he needs your faith. He needs you to trust him. He needs you to walk one step in front of the other. Not question, not reason. Reason's a terrible thing to get into. You know, once you start reasoning and you get your logic going, your logic's not God's logic. His ways are higher than your ways. His thoughts are higher than your thoughts. He has a plan. And it's fully in place. Every provision is made. All he asks of you is, walk in it. Walk it out. And trust me, keep your eyes on me. Stagger not. He didn't consider, he didn't question it, he didn't keep thinking it through, he considered it not, the impossibility of the promise. He did not stagger at it. He didn't dwell on the sheer impossibility. It says he gave glory to God. He got to a place where he kept his eyes on the promise and he spoke the promise. My next door neighbour, she's lovely, and she was talking to me this morning as we were waiting for Daniel and the others, and she was saying, Grace, she reads Word for Today, and she's born again, and she reads God's Creative Power for Healing, and she reads it religiously every day, and she speaks it out, and she says, I know I don't need to be negative, and I know I don't need to speak in what I feel, but there's some issues that are not coming in line and not lining up, Grace. And she said, I just need to talk to you. I need my faith building. I need encouraging. So we encourage one another there. And she's such a blessing because she's not a negative person. She refuses to speak negatively. And she wouldn't do that in this situation. But she said, I'm struggling. I'm struggling. So I said we would pray for her, and I prayed for her. And God is faithful. And she went and she said, I always feel better, Grace, when we've had one of our chats. So, just consider not. Don't get involved in what's going on. And don't be negative. Speak out the promise. She was saying to me, because when people say to me, am I all right? She says, yes, I am all right. But I feel I'm telling them a lie. So I said, but what I do is mainly, well, if people don't understand it, I'll say, well, all I know is God said, and if God said it, it's done. But she said, well, when they don't understand, that's not always easy, and it's not. So we prayed that God would give her wisdom, but in a sense she is all right because she's standing on the promise, and the promise is the truth. So give glory to God. If we keep our eyes on the promise, we will be able to give glory to God. It will, faith wells up within your spirit, and you know that you know that you know, regardless of what everything else says, you know that you know that you know, that it's sorted, God's got it. So be fully persuaded, because that's what it said. Abraham was fully persuaded that God was able to do what he had promised. So, know, you've got to know that you know that whatever you're facing is not bigger than God. And I always find that encouraging. Is your situation bigger than God? No. You're scowling at me. Oh, well, you'll have to ignore it a minute. Nearly done. Being fully persuaded, your situation is not bigger than God. And God is not a man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. If it takes 25 years, be assured he hasn't changed his mind. He will fulfill it. He will come through. And he is faithful is he who promised, who will also do it. There's so many scriptures that make us confident that God has already sorted it. And another thought came to me, that it's interesting that as Abraham had to stand and believe for Sarah to bear a child, it was also the case because his Isaac's wife, Rebecca, she was barren. And Jacob's wife, Rachel, she was barren. And it's as if the promise that God gave to Abraham that his seed would be as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore, the devil was after that promise, the promised seed. The devil was determined to try and destroy it. But you know, God's word overcame every obstacle that stood against the promise. And here we are today as a result of that promise. So that is a real lesson in faithfulness, the faithfulness of God. We can see the evidence of his promise that the devil could not stamp it out. He could not destroy that seed. It was an imperishable seed. And the seed he's given to you is an imperishable seed. And it cannot be destroyed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And Andrew, he just shared, didn't he, on Messenger this morning, Psalm 34, and that verse, it was verse 5, Psalm 34 verse 5. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. When you look to him, your face, you get encouragement and you're able to laugh. You're able to be free. And so your faces are lightened. You're not heavy anymore. The load is lifted. And you are not going to be ashamed because God is faithful. Amen. So as I encourage you, I encourage myself because I need to hear that too. Amen.
We're going to look at and the verse 8 and which really came home to me quite vividly as I looked at it. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. And I will guide you with my eye. And for years I've been endeavouring to try and help people, which is one of the things that God has given me I don't know what you might call it. It's just part of one of my ministries, helping. And let me say to you, look, God is wanting to teach us his ways. See, if I knew everything that was going off in my life, if I had an answer for everything, I personally would be God. We're not God. And he is, like Grace has already said, his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and his ways are higher than our ways. He sees you perfect. God sees you perfect. He sees what the end result of what his work in your life, if you allow him, he sees that being perfected. And in Romans, if you look at Romans 8:29, which has been a great blessing to me, because everybody used to in my younger days always quote Romans 8:28. Suddenly one day I went a little bit further and I looked at Romans 8:29, and I believe that there's a secret. Well, there's no secret what God can do, but God's revealed something to us in this verse that shows to us that he's always looking out for you. He's always looking at the way in which he can use whatever's going on in your life to be able to bring you to a place where he wants you to be. You see, he sees you, as I said already, he sees you a finished article. He sees me as the finished article, but he knows that I'm not in the present moment of time, I'm not there. So it's in verse 29, it says, get the right chapter and we'll get the right verse then. It says this, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. He knew you before you came to him. In fact, he said he knew you before the foundation of the world was made. How he does that, I don't know. If I knew that, I'd be God. Okay, and we're not. Don't try and outguess God. Don't try and think you can know, you know better than he knows. You don't. But what he does is in verse 28 it comes in, all things work together for good to those who love God. In that working together for good, I don't know how he does it, but he takes those things that we look at and say, we're going through a rough time. Things are not going as we would like them to go. But he says, all things, I'll work all things for your good. And in that sense, he's showing to us that he's alert and aware of what's going on in our lives 24/7. And he knows exactly where you are tonight. He knows exactly where I am tonight. And in knowing that, he's now endeavouring to. He foreknew you. One scripture said he knew you from. I think it was to Jeremiah. He knew you from your mother while you were in your mother's womb. He formed you. I should never have lived actually when I was born, because I was only 2¼ pound. And in those days when I was 2¼ pound, you didn't live. And they said, name him quick, because he's not going to make it. But God foreknew me, and he predestined me. He planned for me, absolutely planned for me, that I should be where I am today. And he's planned for you, and he's planned for all of us to be where we are at this moment in time, because he foreknew us, he predestined us, he planned for us to conform us to the image of his Son. I want to be more like Jesus. We sing that song, don't we? Be like Jesus. This my song in the throne and in the home and in the throng. Be like Jesus all day long. That's my aim, is to be like Jesus. I'm never going to reach there by myself, but I can I'll reach to a degree as the Lord, as God works upon it and conforms us all. He's planned for us, and we let his plan work out in our lives. And as we do that, so we become more like Jesus. And I've been challenged very much recently, over the last few days, in fact, more than ever. What do I allow now that I didn't allow when I first got saved? What have I compromised on in my life? Am I as near to the Lord as I was when I was 18? And it's a challenge. But God's taking all the things that are happening in our lives to make us more like Jesus, to conform us into the image of his Son. I want to be more like Jesus, yes, so that when I get to heaven, the transformation ain't going to be as big, but it's going to be fantastic, because it's going to be a colossal change, because suddenly I'll put off this earthly body and I'll put on the heavenly one, and I'll understand it all by and by. The chorus said, let me say to this evening, you might not understand all that's going on in your life. You might not understand all that God's got for you. You might not understand why you're going a certain way. But let me say, as you walk that way with God, he has promised that he's conforming you into the image of his Son. He's trying to take away from you the things that are not good and harmful to you. And into the place he's putting faith, trust, and his grace is becoming sufficient for you in every time of need. And that grace means the unmerited, undeserved favour of God. I think we used to say that in Sunday school. I can't remember it all of it, but that was, I can always remember the word grace, the undeserved favour of God. You've got the favour of God upon you. I've got the favour of God upon me. We allow that favour to be worked out in us, or we can hinder it. If we hinder it, we don't get the favour that he wants us to have. But if we allow him to do his work in us, if we allow him to transform us or change us into the image of his Son, to whom he foreknew, he also predestined. You are predestined to greater things, not only here on earth, but in heaven itself. It's better over there, you know. Heaven's better than this. Praise God, what joy and bliss. Walking on the streets of solid gold, living in the land where you never grow old. Someone told me today, your knees have had a bit of bashing in their time. That's why they're a little bit dodgy at the moment. But I've just said to the Lord, you know about my knees. I can be renewed in the power of the Lord. And he can renew my strength. But what strength I have, I'll use for his glory. And that's all he wants you to do. He wants you to be available and be there ready for what he wants to do in your life. Yes, change has come. And and the changes are being wrought in our Christian, personally, in the church corporately. But let's be worried about change, for our God can turn the change around, produce good from it, and out of it he can produce what he's after, and that is to make him more like Jesus. Read the scripture again. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, or to be made more like Jesus, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Peter, if we work together, I believe the Lord will indeed do that for us. He'll make us into the image that he wants us to be, when we might show people that we've been with Jesus. Amen.
Any of you shot a gun? Some of you have. How do you do it? Show me, Rob. How would you do it? How do you shoot a gun? Just any. How do you? Right. Where are you pointing it? How do you know? Have you ever shot a gun, ever? No. I've shot an air rifle when I was a kid. This, if I can find it, I will guide you with my eye. When you shoot a gun, you usually use one eye. It doesn't say he'll guide us with his eyes. He says, I'll guide you with my eye. Keep you on target. Point you in the right direction. That's what I got from that anyway, that the Lord will make sure we are going in the right direction, and the bullet whoosh goes in the right direction, because it's not going in the direction that we've pointed. It's not going in the direction that we have chosen with our eyes. It's going in the direction that he has chosen with his eye, which I thought was just fantastic. And then I had a little laugh when I read this psalm. Have we got any mindless horses here? Mindless horses. Or mule-headed stubbornness. Have we got any of that here? Because it says that we're not to be like a mindless horse or a mule that has to be guided. I thought that was just fantastic. A horse will go nowhere unless it's got a bit in its mouth. Somebody else is telling it where to go. In actual fact, the Lord should be, and we should be listening to the Lord telling us where and what we should be doing. And although we shouldn't be like stubborn mules or mindless horses, I didn't realize until quite recently that horses are obviously big animals, but they've not got much of a brain. They don't know where to go other than somebody pulling at their mouth. And we're encouraged not to be like mindless horses who don't know where to go. We need to have the Lord guiding us, and guiding us with his eye, because he's got us on target. And so I thought, he? No, and he'll not miss the target. No. Bullseye. So I just thought that was good from Psalm 32. Bless the Lord.
first verse. How blessed is he whose transgressions is forgiven, whose sin is covered, it says. That's Old Testament. I want to rewrite in this bit now. This now has to be lived in the New Testament era. Blessed is he whose transgressions is forgiven, whose sin is removed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Old Testament sacrifices, sins were covered. Hallelujah. We have now a better covenant than this psalmist at this time. And so, you know, it's been removed. As far as the east is from the west, God has removed our transgressions. Hallelujah. And so when you read this psalm, you can look at this and say, well, thank God for the greater covenant that I now am living in. That through Jesus Christ, he's brought us to this place. It's no longer a yearly sacrifice situation, but it is a sacrifice that is once for all. And thank God it is available to us as we surrender to Christ, as we allow Christ to live in our lives and we live for Christ. It is now whose sin is removed. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're a people who are living in that new covenant, that new relationship. And so the word of God that God's promised us has grown and developed. He's moved us now from the law into his grace. Well, he's moved us back into grace, actually. We pulled ourselves out of grace. We removed ourselves from God. And we ended up with a law that was there as the school teacher to lead us, to direct us back to God. That was the idea of the law, that it would stop us from being so wayward. But Jesus came to be that final and ultimate sacrifice for each and every one of us, so that then there is no more. We're not just covering sin every year, covering over it, but it is being removed once for all. Hallelujah. We are robed in his righteousness. And I think it's a good thing to bring out from this psalmist. I'm not decrying the psalmist, because the psalmist was writing in that law situation. He was writing under the old covenant. But today, we could write this psalm with him, and we could say, blessed is the man whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sin is removed. Hallelujah. And we are the people whose sin has been removed through that precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 10 says, many are the sorrows of the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord. Hallelujah. That's what we've got to do. We have to trust in the Lord. Trust in his word. Trust in his faithfulness to us. And as we trust in the Lord, loving kindness shall surround you. Hallelujah. So as you're trusting in the Lord, his loving kindness will surround you, will protect you, will be there for you. And then, because of all of that, the last verse, and I love the last verse where it says, be glad in the Lord and rejoice. Hallelujah. And again I say, rejoice. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous ones. You see, you're not righteous by your own works. You're not righteous by what you have read, think, or say. But you are righteous through the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, which has been placed upon you to cover you and to bless you and to bring you into his presence, so that there is no more condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And because of this, he says, and so, and shout for joy, you who are upright in heart. Hallelujah. Because of the work of the cross, because of the work of Jesus, he's molded us and shaped us, and he's bringing us to that place where we are able to shout for joy, because he has made you and me upright in his presence. And he wants you to be blessed. He wants you to be encouraged. You know, the wicked will have many sorrows, and it will last for eternity. But to those who trust in the Lord for eternity, we shall have his loving kindness, and we shall be surrounded by the presence of Almighty God, and we shall be able to rejoice and be glad in the Lord, because he has made you righteous, and you're allowed to enter into the presence of Almighty God, and you can then shout for joy. Hallelujah. When it seems tough, get your shouting voice on, get your dancing shoes on, and begin to shout, begin to praise, and begin to give him all the praise and all the glory, and watch the devil, watch sin, sickness, and everything else that seeks to attack us begin to flee, because he has given us the victory again and again and again. Amen. The Lord bless you. Hallelujah. Anybody else wanting to share anything quickly? Praise God. Hallelujah. How are you feeling now, Rob? Praise God. A lot better. That's great. It's good. Lord is at work. Signs, wonders and miracles are accompanied after the, during and part of the preaching of the Word of God. When the Word, when the presence of the Spirit is here, there is signs, wonders and miracles and healings in the mighty name of Jesus. How are you feeling? Are you? I know. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yeah, come on, just give me a hand. Hallelujah. Just sit there. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Father, we just thank you for Louise. And Father, we just speak, Lord, this peace and this righteousness to just flow into, Lord, to be an overflowing. And Father, we pray for your presence to just touch her. Continue to strengthen her, Father. And we rebuke this epilepsy in Jesus' name. And Father, we just drive it out from her and say in Jesus' name that the Prince of Peace rules and reigns in the mighty name of Jesus. Rule, O Lord. Peace, rule them. Peace, rule in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Bless the Lord. Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you, Lord, for your people. We thank you, Lord, particularly for your presence and for your word to us. And we pray, O Lord, that your hand will continue to move amongst us, move amongst your people. Father, I pray, Lord, you continue to raise up ministry for your praise and for your glory. Father, would you speak life into this area where we are residing right now. And Father, we say, Lord, Lord, let the shackles be broken. Father, let the shackles be broken in Jesus' name. Father, shake the place. Let the shackles be broken, Lord. Set the captives free. And Lord, make us ready to receive that which you have for us in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, Amen.